Our youth went to an event on Friday night in Douglasville at a church, and we probably, I guess we had 15 or so there. And during the service, they had a little talent thing, and then they had some involvement, and our church was very involved. But when it come time for the preaching and the altar call, we had some youth go to the altar, and of course, our other youth went down and pray with them. And then when some others went down, our youth would go pray with them. And it was such that our youth made an impact on that church to the extent that they called Brother Allen on Saturday, and they want to associate their youth group with our youth group. And that's a blessing, church. And it's kind of like when I see that right there, it charges me up. It just excites me. And that was a youth rally, so there was a lot of youth there. But thank God for what he's doing in our church. You know, our church, our youth went to the camp last summer, and we had 26 go. And, of course, the youth group's been growing. And they came back, and you could tell it had an impact on them. I mean, the way they started worshiping and getting involved with the service, putting their little praise band together. And then, of course, I'll tell you something that's been a prayer answered for me is the way the youth have begun to use the altar. But that's the whole church. When I say that the altar call is the most important part of the church, I mean that. Most important part of the service. But this year in camp, we've got 45 plus going. So praise the Lord. That's a praise. So I'm thank God for what he's doing. Tonight our lesson is Winning the Spiritual Battle. The title is Power in Prayer. We're going to go back into Ephesians in chapter number 6. And we're going to read 10 through 20. But I want to pay particular attention to verse number 18. Verse number 18. And I'll tell you before we get into it why you've got a handout that has fill in the blanks with the blanks filled in. I got over here this afternoon, and I got to looking through my book and realized I had my notes, but all that time I spent typing that for y'all and trying to get those blanks ready for you, I didn't print it. And here's why, because I sat down last night and I was studying and praying, trying to prepare for this morning, and I honestly had six messages, okay? And there are six messages that are different and new that I've never preached at this church. And I was trying to pray about which one God wanted me to bring, and I ended up printing five of them, and it just didn't dawn on me. And then when I got here today, I realized I had not printed this. So you get the answers. I know some of you glad, okay? You don't like filling the blank. Now, some of y'all are mad. Well, I'll make it up to you. But I thank the Lord we have what we need. But I want to look at this scripture over there, and I want to look at Ephesians chapter 10, and we want to talk about prayer. Excuse me, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Spiritual warfare, but particularly tonight we're going to get into the power of prayer. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, You know, we've been studying about spiritual warfare, and we talked a little bit about recognizing the enemy in lesson one, and then we talked about standing firm, and then we talked last week about dressing for battle. We talked particularly about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and how important it is to know the Word of God, to be prepared with the Word of God, to have the Word of God in your heart and in your mind, so that when you're facing adversity or trouble or temptation, the Holy Spirit will bring that Word back to you. And how important it is sometimes to even have the specific word or the verse. You know, I heard a man say that he read through the Bible several times. And when you hear that, I've heard people say that, you know, they're generally talking about reading through the Bible in a year. But this man, his David Gibbs Sr., he was an attorney, a Christian attorney that, you know, we hope we don't have to call on those people, but they're available. But he said he didn't read through the Bible in a year, he read through the Bible in a month. And he actually was challenged traveling around the world doing cases, defending Christianity and the right to be a Christian and live a Christian life. He was challenged by a man to read the Bible through in a month. And he, of course, like us, I can't do that. And the man said, well, let's do a little test. And he had him turn to a particular page in the Bible. And he said, all right, now you read that page and I'm going to time you. Now, he said he knew what the man was doing, so as the man began to time him and he read the page, he said, I really milked it. He said, I just read slow, and, you know, I got through with the page, and, of course, the guy said, well, how long did that take? And it was only just a few minutes. And then he began to talk to him about how many pages there were in the Bible and how many pages he would have to read and how many minutes he would have to read per day in a given month to read through the Bible in a month. And basically, it equates to about 40 or 45 minutes a day for the average person. Now, I had mentioned that in a Sunday school class when I was over at Mackland, and we actually had a couple of people in the class who took it upon themselves to take the challenge. Now, here's the thing about reading the Word of God. Because I heard David Gibbs Sr. saying this, and I got to get to prayer, so I got to move on. But this specific word thing just jumped out at me today. It's when I heard David Gibbs Sr. talking about this, he said, I did it the first time, and he said, I'll admit, it was tough. He said, but then I did it again. And he said, and then I did it again. And he said, the man that challenged me told me, he said, now when you do this, things are going to start happening in your spiritual life. And he said, it did. He said, because the more familiar I got with the Word of God, the more readily the Word of God popped into my mind in situations of life that I faced. You see, we all face situations of life every day. We face challenges. We face things that come against us. He said, but because the Word of God was familiar to me and it was so fresh and it was so real, he said, I found myself daily being in situations to where it would happen. Just like he said, it would happen. And he said the word would just pop into my mind and the verses would begin to come. Now, folks, I want to tell you, it's important that we be familiar with God's book. And if we're going to stand in spiritual warfare, and I'll tell you, times that we're living in today are those times. And when I saw like the video we played just a minute ago of the kids and the kids singing and the kids using the altar, here's what I want you to understand as we talk about spiritual warfare. We have things that are worth fighting for. And those things are so precious and they're so important that we as Christians must prepare ourselves to be able to fight in the spiritual realm. So yes, we need to recognize the enemy. We need to stand firm. We need to have the Word of God, and we need to understand the specific Word. But I want to tell you tonight, I want to talk about what I think is the most important part of being prepared to face spiritual warfare, and that is understanding the value of power in prayer. Now, how many of you have seen the War Room movie? Okay? I would say probably 60%. You know, if I'm going to endorse a movie in church when I'm preaching or teaching, it's got to be good, okay? And I mentioned one this morning, God's Not Dead 2. You need it in your library. You need it in your library because you'll understand what this spiritual warfare is about by watching it. But you need to get this war room and you need to have it in your library because you need to understand the value of what God can do. We this morning had baptism, and when we baptized, I could have said time and time again, this is an answer to prayer. Out before church this morning, I got some reports from what people have been praying and about with the doctor. And what do we say? God gets the glory. That's prayer. That's God answering our prayer. I want to tell you, we are going to need each other's prayer. I need your prayers. And we don't know what tomorrow holds that we might have to face, where the only thing that we can call on is prayer. See, I had a friend recently that was involved with a particular court case, and it was federal. And he needed prayer. And I heard people time after time again, it's almost like this, well, ain't no need in praying about that. That's a federal case. They wouldn't bring it if they couldn't win. He's going to lose. That's what people said. People prayed anyway. God answered the prayer. I want to tell you, folks, prayer is important. I believe the most overlooked weapon in our arsenal is preparation and prayer. One of the biggest or the greatest weaknesses in the life of any believer is the lack of prayer. Now, when we go through this scripture, I believe Paul wants us to understand two things. One is the fullness and certainty of God's willingness to help us. You got to understand that. And number two is the supernatural power of God to help us. You see, God wants to help us. And God has the power to help us, okay? Now, you think about it for just a minute. Number one, the willingness. Every one of us in here that's got kids or grandkids, and I know some of you say, I wish I could have had my grandkids first, but it don't work that way. But how difficult is it for the grandkid to come up to you and say, Paw-paw or Nana, or Mimi, you know, I know you ladies are particular about what they call you, but whatever it is they call you, they say, will you get me so-and-so? Oh, you get it, don't you, Brother Billy? They get about anything they ask for because they know that you love them and they know that you care about them and the relationship is so sweet and so precious. Here's what I want you to understand. As much as you love those grandkids, it don't compare to how much God loves you. You know, I heard Bill Stafford, preacher, evangelist, say the greatest thing that a man could ever be called is grandpa. Now, at the time, I was not a grandpa, and I argued with him. I said the greatest thing that a man can ever be called is daddy. Now I got daddy and grandpa. Pawpaw is my word. But I want to tell you, when they come to you, they get a lot of stuff because you love them. But that's just a little bit of a comparison. But here's the difference. When we come to God, we come with serious things that we need his help. I want us to understand he has the power to help us. Now, how is God's energy and power released in us? It's released one way. It's released through prayer. It's when we come to him and we ask, God gives us the things that we need. And there's a fill in the blank there that was really your blank. You see where it says you fill in the blank? When you come to God, God gives you what goes through your mind in prayer. See, God gives us a discerning mind, a discerning spirit. He gives spiritual vision. He gives knowledge. He gives comfort. But sometimes God gives the little things. I made this comment a few times about my wife, and I covet and I appreciate my wife's prayers. But sometimes my wife, she prays about little things. You know, you be somewhere and there'll be something going on, and you'll say, well, I wish so-and-so could win. And she'll start praying for them to win, and they win. She said, I wish so-and-so could get it, and that she starts praying for them, and they get it. And I look at her, and I say, pray that I'll kill a big buck Saturday. I'm going hunting. Sometimes she has, Brother Billy, and I brought the big one home. I went one time and I said, She said, where's the deer? I said, didn't see one today. She said, well, I prayed. You must not be living right. What does God give you? Does God care about the little things? He does. I can tell you the time, I don't like working on a car, especially not anymore. I don't like laying on my back under there. But I can tell you, I've laid under a car before, saying, Lord, help me get this bolt to fit this hole so I can get out from under here. God cares about the little things. God wants us to talk to Him. Now, why is it Satan hates, despises, targets those who know how to pray? That's why when we began this lesson and we talked about spiritual warfare, sometimes it's not spiritual warfare, it's the world, it's self. But if you really love God and you know how to pray and you understand this element of spiritual warfare, now we're getting to the point that you're going to really know what it is. Because if you know how to pray warfare prayer, the devil's going to come after you. Because warfare prayer crushes Satan's might and it reveals him for who he is. Now, if we understand this, and this is a question for me, why then do we not pray? Now, I can tell you, folks, there are times that I pray just like that. I mean, there are times that I might pray, and I try to pray every morning, whether I get down by the couch and pray or I'm praying going down the road, but I'm praying every morning that God would bless my family, that God would help me through the day. Can't tell you the times that I prayed on the way to work knowing that what I was going to have to do when I got to work was more than my ability. Prayed that God would bless me, prayed the prayer of Jabez, have the prayer of Jabez written up on my wall, where he said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me. Then the next line says, and God granted him that which he requested. There are times that somebody come up to me, and this happened today, and they say, Pastor, can I ask you a question? I want to tell you, I've never been asked that question that I wasn't praying. You can't close my eyes. And they say, oh, no, he don't want to talk to me. But I'm praying. There are times I'll get a call and it'll be my boss and he'll say, come to my office. I'm praying. There are times I get these customers and they're breathing fire through the phone. I'm praying. There are times that I'm dealing with issues in my own family. I'm praying. But you know, when we ask and we come to the Lord, sometimes I think about the things that we really want. And we're not getting them. Is it because perhaps we've not brought them to God in prayer? See, do you pray before you leave the home in the morning? You should. There's some nuts on the road. People drive crazy. You need to be able to drive right. I went just a few minutes ago, left the meeting here, and went over to pick up my son. He took a defensive driving course. I pulled up. Timing was perfect. He's walking out, and I just stopped to swap places because I know he's going to drive, and there's a girl runs out and gets in her car, defensive driving class. She comes blowing the horn through the parking lot. People wouldn't get out of her way fast enough. I said, what's the matter with her? He said, she was here for road rage. When you get out on the road, you need to be praying. Do you pray before you make long trips, short trips? Can I tell you that every time we load these youth up on this bus out here and we're going anywhere, we get on that bus and pray, but I'm praying all the way. I'm praying that God will protect them, that God will bless them, that God will take care of them, that He would put this hedge of His Holy Spirit around them, that nothing could touch them. Do you pray before you make decisions? Or you just say, well, I got to have it, or I got to do it. Do you pray for your children? I think that's very important. I think every child needs a parent that will go in there and put their hand on their head when they're asleep and pray for them. Pray for them that God would watch over them. And I'll tell you something that you ought to pray for. Pray for the person they're going to marry. Now they say, well, they're just 5 years old. Good time to start. Okay? Because if they're five and that one they're going to marry is five, then, you know, you can pray all the way through those years that they'll be in a home where they're taught the right things. Where when they do come together, it'll be the right kind of yoke. A yoke that's pleasing to God. See, in the mornings we get up and we'll rush, we'll get them up, we'll get the clothes on, brush your teeth, feed them a Pop-Tart or whatever it is that they eat. We get them in the car and we get them to school. We do everything else in the world for them. But do we pray for them? When my kids have tests, we pray for them. What do you mean? Just exactly that. Clear mind, clear heart. The question, I guess, is do you understand the value of prayer? Here's a question. Have your children heard you call their name in prayer? I want to tell you something. I don't care how old they are, 5 or 55. When a child hears their parent call their name in prayer, it does something to them. They will remember it. I can remember growing up watching my dad. My dad was a good man, but I can remember the way he would, before he went to bed every night, he would pray. And I can remember him praying for me and my brothers and my sisters. Some of you know James Dobson and who he is and his wife and the ministry Focus on the Family. I had listened to the ministry of James Dobson for years till one day he had a show on and he was talking about prayer and fasting. And he had never brought this up, although he had done this through the entire life of his ministry. He began to talk about how every Friday he fasted and prayed for his children. And he told a little story about why he did that. He said he had a grandfather that was a man of prayer. And he said his grandfather had prayed for his son and for his grandsons, which was James Dobson. And he said because of his prayer, he said, the grandfather said, I believed that God was going to save every one of you. And he did. But it stopped. And what James Dobson realized is that his grandfather's prayer ended at him. The baton had to be passed. It's my responsibility to carry on the value of prayer before my children. See, my daddy's already with the Lord. It's mine. And he said, when James Dobson said, when I realized that, he said, it was overwhelming to me that here I am, I have these two children, and my grandfather just, it's almost like he's told me that what God showed me stopped at you, and from here, it's yours. Next one is pray a hedge around. Do you understand what the hedge is? Here's a prayer that I pray. And there are times in my life that I felt like it's just through my spirit and troubling that it was even more sincere than others. But it's when you get down and you pray like this, Lord, put a hedge around my son today. Lord, I don't know what he's going to face. We prayed out in the foyer just a few minutes ago. We were stuffing bags for them to take to the homeless. We got about 150 bags stuffed that they're going to take down there on Tuesday. You know, we prayed over that food that it would be nourishment to them. But that's not what it's about. It's as they eat it, they begin to realize and understand that somebody was there to care for them because God cares for them. And it would begin to be stirred. But you know what else we prayed? We prayed a hedge of protection around the people from this church that are willing to go into that place and work. Just like we pray a hedge of protection around our youth when they go on trips. We pray a hedge of protection around this church that the devil won't be able to get in here and stir up anything or cause any disunity or any division. And examples of that are the Lord's Prayer. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. The prayer of Jabez, he said, in that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me. The next is teach your children to pray. How? That's by praying in front of them, and that's the example. Look at Ephesians 6:18. I want to read that verse again. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now here, we want to break it down for just a little bit. And I believe that our understanding of the Word of God is directly related to our prayers. And I want to tell you what I believe that prayer is. Prayer is not just asking God for stuff, but listening to God. There's a song that Brother Keith sings sometimes that says, I just came to talk to you, Lord. It says, maybe tomorrow there'll be trouble and sorrow and 1,000 teardrops will fall. But until I face another task, I have no other favor to ask. I just came to talk with you, Lord. In the 119th Psalm, David said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's why when we open the book, and I've heard it said of preachers that three things make them. One is prayer, two is meditation, and three is suffering. But the prayer is coming before him with our petition, but the meditation is when you sit before him with an open heart, asking him to speak to you. That's why I believe it is true that the holiness and righteousness of our lives are directly related to our prayers, because God speaks to us through our prayers. Prayer leads to relationship, which leads to intimacy with God. Now, when we pray, here's something I believe we know as Christians. We know that He knows, okay? But it's not just about that. He wants us to ask. And when you spend time with Him in prayer, that's spending time with God. Now, ultimately, folks, that's what God wants. Sometimes, have you ever thought about what God wants from you? He just wants you. He just wants you. He just wants a relationship with you. I heard David Wilkerson at a rally, a pro-life rally at Burnt Hickory Baptist Church. He is the guy who wrote the book, The Prayer of Jabez. He said that God wanted children. You ever thought about that? He said, replenish and multiply the earth. God wanted children. God loves you. So really, all God wants us to spend time with you. See, and when we do, God's power is channeled to us according to our listening and talking to Him. It's like the closer we get to God, and the closer we are in our prayer life to God, the more power that can be channeled to us. And there have been people I've been around in my life, every time I look at them and they say they're praying for me, I say, I can't tell you how important that is. Now, I want to talk a little bit about prayer, and I want to look at all prayer. All prayer, or prayer of request or petition, is the type of prayer that is a prayer of request or petition. That's a general request. What is a petition? It is a singular request or a specific request. It's when you ask God for something. You ask for something specific from God. And then God displays His power by answering that specific prayer. And I added something a few weeks ago. We were talking a little bit about prayer. And I said, you need, when you're praying in your prayer closet, and you got your war room prayer, you got your request. Then you got God's answer. But here's the next one, and I think this is important. How does that answer to that prayer glorify God? Because I believe when God does answer prayer, you're going to find a place that it glorifies Him. Sometimes people ask for things from God, and God ain't going to. It's almost like, don't ask for God for things that are contrary to His book. I've heard people do that. I've had people actually ask me to pray about something, and I said, I can't pray about that. That's contrary to the Word of God. At all times, all perseverance. What does that mean? I want to look at James chapter number 5. And then we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians. James chapter 5 and verse number 16 says, confess your faults to one another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And then it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, the unceasing and sincere prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then I want to flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. It simply says, pray without ceasing. You say that, here's what people imagine. It's like you have to be like one of these monks, and you commit your life, and all you do is you sit, you know, on your knees in prayer when you're not eating. That is not what that means. How many of you remember the old song we sang out of the Red Book, The Royal Telephone? Y'all know that one? Central's never busy, always on the line. You may hear from heaven almost any time. You know what that means to me, pray without ceasing? It's exactly what I was talking about a while ago. Somebody asked you a question, the line's open. When I say God or Father, if the relationship that I have with Him is what it needs to be, He hears me. He's available to me. And you know what, a lot of times when I hit, you know, I come to the Lord like that, a lot of times, you know what it is? I'm seeking knowledge. I'm looking for Him. I'm looking for Him to give me something that I would not have otherwise by myself. Don't want to be by myself. What about the times that you cry out to God and you say, oh God, help us. You ever had a tragedy? And I know we all have, and we don't know what tomorrow faces. And we just absolutely, at that moment, we get the phone call, whatever it is, we hit our knees and we cry out and we say, oh God. If your relationship is where it needs to be with God, He's right there. Unfortunately, we don't want to be in a position where we say, oh God, and there's so much garbage in the way. We have to repent and pray and kick it all out of the way before we can even get to what we want to talk to God about. But pray without ceasing is keeping the phone line open at all times, living in God consciousness, and then ask the question, what is it that I cannot or I should not pray about? Think about that as a Christian. If I can't pray about it and seek God's will about it, I probably don't need to be involved in it. Okay? It is living in communion with the Father, always aware of God's presence, and not being so wrapped up in my way to listen to God speak to me and tell me His way. It's having a relationship that's always open and healthy between God and yourself. And here's the key importance, and this is why this is so important. I mentioned this morning in the message how that Christianity is the only of all of the world's religions that have the Holy Spirit. You know, you can be a Muslim, Buddha, Islam, Hinduism, whatever. Folks, there's no Holy Spirit. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us, that draws us. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us and teaches us. It's the Holy Spirit that Jesus said, after I leave, I'll send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and He shall guide you and He shall lead you in all things. There's no other religion in the world that has anything like the Holy Spirit. But here's why the Holy Spirit is so important to us. If I have a prayer life and I'm seeking God, I'm going to be listening for the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now here's something that I believe about prayer. I believe that if you're seeking God's will about what His will is about a situation, and through the Holy Spirit He reveals it to you, and sometimes He will, you can pray and it's answered. That's why sometimes when we're coming together to pray, my desire first is not praying about what we want, but praying about what God wants. You ever think about that? Now, folks, and I know this church has, you know, been through several times when you needed to put a committee together and you pray about a pastor. You pray about a Sunday school teacher. You pray about the direction for the church. We ought not to get together and seek if we can do this or if we can do that. We ought to seek God's will on the matter and pray that God's will be done. What about the promptings of the Holy Spirit? I mentioned this morning, as Christians, we ought not to be ashamed to say, well, the Lord spoke to me today. And I'll give you some little examples. Remember Elijah over there in the cave, and he heard the fire and the smoke and the earthquake, and God wasn't in that, and then he heard a still, small voice. You ever heard this? You ever heard, it's like people say, well, something just told me. You know, something just told me you're forgetting something. Something just told me that to be careful down there. It's like I just didn't feel comfortable. Something just told me maybe I didn't need to go down there today. Something just told me, watch what you say in this meeting. Something just told me, be careful around this person. Something just told me, that person has a need. I've heard people say things like this. I just really felt impressed to go up to them and talk to them and to ask them about this. Remember the video that we showed of, what's the girl that does Bible studies, honey? Beth Moore, thank you. I'm getting old. My wife's young. And she said she was in the airport, and the guy come through with a wheelchair, and his hair was hanging all down in his lap. And he's sitting over there, and he's bent over, and she said, I felt the urge of the Holy Spirit. And she said, there were people everywhere. And she said, Lord, please don't make me go over and witness to that man. She said, Lord, somebody will witness to him. Don't make me do it. And she, you know, this woman's in touch with God, right? Any of you ladies been involved with her Bible studies, you know she is. And she said she's debating with the Lord about witnessing to the man, and God says, I don't want you to witness to him. She said, oh, Lord, thank you. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to comb his hair. We may play that. We don't know if we have time. I got to hurry. I can't believe time goes by so fast. Anyway, it goes on, and she, God finally convicts her, and she goes over and she combs his hair. And I want to tell you, it absolutely has a tremendous impact on his life. When you get in tune with the Holy Spirit and you have a life of walking with God in prayer, God is going to begin to speak to you. He's going to say, be careful around this person. That person has a need. Go pray with them about this. There's more to this issue than you see. It's not just a little voice. As Christians, we need to realize this is the Holy Spirit of God doing exactly what God said he would do. He said, I'll send you a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and he'll guide you, and he'll lead you in all things. And the reason we don't have it simply is because we hadn't spent enough time with God to develop our spiritual recognition of it. Now, here's where I'm at in my life. We're going to have to close. I want God to do something in this church and in my life that when it's done, there ain't no doubt in anybody's mind. They don't even question. They say, God did that. And you know where it's going to happen? Is when you learn how to pray. And folks, this is for me. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'll tell you, I believe this with all my heart. The God we serve wants to prepare us through prayer, through a relationship with him, that when it comes and he begins to move in a mighty way, we see the prayer, we see the answer, we can point to how it glorifies him. Say, this is God. Amen. Hope something that was said tonight was a blessing to you. We got one more lesson in this study on spiritual warfare, and it is going to be on intercessory prayer. And that is when you go and you stand in the gap for somebody else. Amen.